This is You Auto Know on WTIC News Talk 1080 with the Connecticut Automotive Retailers Association talking about all things cars. You Auto Know on WTIC is driven by Bouvier Insurance.
Hey, it's Steve Parker. We're here with a brand new show. Kind of excited about it. Sometimes when you get approached by a company like Entercom, they say you've got a new opportunity here. Man, I latched right onto it, especially because it's something that I love a lot. Anybody who knows anything about me knows that I'm a car guy. Anything with wheels, I want to drive it. Jim has been the top dog for a long time. And Jim Fleming is he's the big man. He's the guy that runs the Connecticut Automotive Retailers Association. And you're kind of like the, can I say watchdog? Is that the best way to go, well, Jim? Are you like the go-between the dealers and the state? Or
I work for the dealers, and we do a lot with the Connecticut legislature, government, DMV. Sometimes we have ideas about reform, so we work with government, but I represent the 270 new car dealers in Connecticut.
Oh, boy, you must be a very special person. Well, you've got to have something to be able to corral those guys. That's something.
They're really a great bunch. You know, Connecticut, unlike some other states, they're all family-owned businesses. We have a car dealer in Connecticut that's sixth generation. Reynolds Subaru down on Hamburg Cove, and his family originally was making horse and buggy whips, and now they're selling cars down there. So this business has been around a long time in Connecticut.
You know, it's something. I still know some great family-owned car dealerships, and it's great to know that there's an owner right there, you know, on the lot, especially these days, you know, where a lot of that has changed. Jim, why don't we just give our listeners, being this is our first time out of the gate, a little bit of an idea of why we came together and why you guys and WTI see?
Well, first of all, like I said, dealerships are family owned, so they're in just about every town in Connecticut. Dealers in Connecticut employ about 14,000 people in great jobs. They're very active in their communities. I don't think there's a little league ball field that you'd go on and you wouldn't see a sign from a car dealer, making a donation. My association was founded over 100 years ago. Right around the time that the first presidential motorcade occurred in Connecticut with Teddy Roosevelt in a Pope Electric.
Oh, that's right. The Pope was born here in sure. Not the Pope, but the car.
But the car. I mean, Connecticut was the Detroit of its time. There were bicycle manufacturers here and Pope manufacturing. So there's a long history in Connecticut with the auto industry. And the thing I like most about it is that, you know, these dealers work very, very hard for a living. They employ a lot of people. They pay good wages. But we have a lot of interest before the legislature, which is in session at the moment, as we all know.
And that's why we thought we would do this show to kind of bring out some of those things that are happening over there with the legislature. And I just think if there's someone like yourself, how long have you been in this position, Jeff?
This is my 12th year. I came here from government.
How did they pick you, Jim?
Boy, you know, sometimes I'm not sure. everybody knows a car dealer. When you're buying a car, you get to know them, and car dealers like to get you back for the second, the third, and the fourth generational sale. So I was about ready to retire from public service after 30 years, and this job came along. It looked interesting. It's not boring. It changes every day. And you're dealing with some really good people in Connecticut. And those are our car dealers. And sometimes I know they get a bad rap.
Oh, yeah.
But they do work real hard. They're not all out on golf courses.
Oh, no. No. All you got to do is go to a dealership in one snowstorm, and you understand what those guys really do to clear off all the cars and how they earn their keep. All right, right now there's a lot of discussion about how Connecticut, with this whole thing where we may be getting double whacked with the tax. Explain a little bit about what's going on there.
Yeah, the Connecticut legislature has a tough issue facing them, and that's trying to balance the state budget. And the governor, too. We have a new governor. He's got some great new ideas, trying to improve the Department of Motor Vehicle, make it more user-friendly. The governor brought his budget in back in January, and one of his proposals was to tax the value of your trade-in. So
that doesn't sound like a good thing, Jim.
I think there's a fairness issue here.
Okay.
I think it is double taxation, and the reason we say that is when you buy a car – you pay the sales tax on it, 6.35%.
Mm-hmm.
And every state in the United States that has a sales tax, similar to Connecticut, they give you what's called a sales tax exemption. So okay. Let's say you're buying a car for $50,000. And the dealer says, I'll give you $10,000 for your trade. You put that towards the car.
Okay.
You get taxed on $40,000 under existing law. What has been proposed is that they will tax you on $50,000. They're going to tax you again on the car that you're trading in that you already paid sales tax on. So we don't think that's fair. We also think it's very bad for business.
So now is part of your job to go up there to the Capitol and speak, or do you have lobbyists up there? Is that primarily what you do? How does your role play into going up there and standing up for the car dealers?
Sure. We do have a lobbyist who's there, Linda Kowalski, I think very well-respected before the legislature. We have been there, and the legislature has listened to us. They've been terrific. We've had meetings with leadership on the Transportation and the Finance Committee, which writes the taxes. The governor has let us sit down with some of his budget people and explain what our concerns are. And at this point, almost about 4 weeks ago in the session, it looks like they've listened to what the 14,000 employees have said, that this would really hurt their jobs. And they've, for the time being, and we hope they leave it out, they've pulled it out of the tax bill. So, you know, a lot of times people say legislators don't listen to you. It looks like this time we made a good argument and they've taken it out of the tax bill because I think they agree that it's not fair to tax people twice.
Now, is this happening in other states? Anybody, any other? I mean, sometimes we get the blame here for having more taxes than anyone else. What about around the country?
We have no monopoly on bad ideas, let me assure you. And that we think this is a bad idea. But other states, yes, are looking at this. And, you know, the manufacturers are concerned. Because we see this as a perfect storm. If you were to apply this tax now and people had less money to put down on a car, it's going to cost over a loan about $1,200 to $1,500 more. Car sales are down nationwide. Car sales are down about 18% in Connecticut. Down in Washington, D.C., they're talking about putting tariffs on cars. If you do those things and it all happens at the same time, I think we could have a recession. You could see dealerships just go out of business.
Well, don't you think also if this kind of thing is going to happen that people are going to try to hold on to their vehicles more, a lot longer, and possibly the repair side might benefit because of it?
Well, you put your finger right on it. And that is some people will be angry enough to say, I'm just not buying a car.
Right.
And Maine tried to do this a number of years ago. And what happened is people did stop buying cars and the Maine legislature came back and repealed it. You suggest that people will hold on to their cars longer. They will. Not because they want to, but because they can't afford to lose $635 on a trade, a $10,000 trade. That's a lot of money and a lot of money to finance. In terms of maintenance, it's a good issue. I mean, maintenance is a big portion of what dealers do. The problem is, you know, when you buy a car, you like to take it back to the same dealer to have it worked on.
The best, yeah.
We're afraid what this tax will do is force people across the border into Massachusetts, New York, and Rhode Island, which all offer this. And when you buy a car at a dealership, you're likely to get it serviced there, and the state would lose the sales tax on that service work as well. Again, I think legislators listened to us and thought, well, maybe this isn't, at second look, it's not such a great idea. In fact, the state might lose tax money rather than gain it.
All right. We're going to take a quick break here, and we're going to come back and speak a little bit more with Jim Fleming and talk to him about – we're just talking about cars here. The Connecticut Automotive Retailers Association's Jim Fleming, and the program is called You Auto Know. Did you come up with that name?
I think someone in my office did. It wasn't me.
I love it. You ought to know. And, of course, we are driven by Bouvier Insurance. And we're going to be doing the program every other Sunday from 9:30 until 10 o'clock right here on WTIC 1080. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be back with more of the program right after this. Hey, Steve Parker, we are back with more of the You Oughta Know show. It's a brand new automotive show that we're doing right here on WTIC News Talk 1080. And we thought we should start out the first show and bring in the main mug, the guy who basically speaks for the dealers. And he also takes their concerns up to the state capitol. And that is Jim Fleming. And Jim is with CARA, and that's the Connecticut Automotive Retailers Association. And, you know, he's the big guy. What's again? What's your title again there, Jim?
Well, I finally got to be president of something after, you know, being in elected office for years in the state legislature. So, you're talking to a former politician and somebody who represents car dealers. So that's an interesting combination.
I'd like to be with you when you go to shop for a car.
There you go.
That's the way to go for it. You know, we're talking a little bit before the break about how some of these things happen to be, you know, if this double tax thing should happen in the state of Connecticut and some of the different things that can happen with that. But one of the concerns I had, let's take the dealers out of the whole scenario for a thing. All right. So if I'm, what's going to happen if I sell a car to you or you sell a car to me? How does that affect us and what's going to happen as far as the safety side goes of it? And maybe if there's other tax implications there or what?
Sure. That's a really good question. And again, an issue we raise with legislators and with the governor's office. Connecticut is unique in the sense that, as you know, they'll do an emissions test on your car. But we don't do safety inspections on vehicles. Many states, Massachusetts, New Jersey, your cars have to be inspected every 2 or 3 years for safety issues. In Connecticut, our government has chosen to have that done only when you buy a used vehicle from a licensed dealer. So that's a new car dealer or a used car dealer. And they have a 15-point inspection, and the car has to be what's called fit for the road. They can't sell it. If they don't, if it has problems, they either have to fix them or they have to tell the consumer, and they may not be able to get them registered if they're not safe. Tires, brakes, you know, all those important things that you want to have work on a vehicle. What will happen is if somebody is going to lose $600 or $700 or $800 because the state decides they're going to tax the value of the trade, that vehicle is going to go into what's called a private sale. And that way the consumer is going to end up getting more cash, come back to the dealership to buy a car.
Yeah.
But when you sell a car between two individuals, if you sell one to the guy next door to you, no safety inspection is done on that car. So what that means is you're going to end up with an awful lot of unsafe vehicles being out on the road, and you're going to discover they're unsafe when somebody's brakes fail and, you know, and slide into the car in front of them. So we talked to legislators about this, and we said, you know, we think what this will do is it'll hurt safety. Dealers would love, absolutely love, to do safety inspections, as many states do. You know, you license a dealer, they have the shops there, they have the ability, they have the expertise to do it. If the state wanted to raise money and ensure safety of vehicles, dealerships could do that. They could do safety inspections on a regular basis for a small fee. I think that our roads would be safer for it. And at the same time, you wouldn't be endangering the jobs that are dependent on being able to get a credit for the trade from the state when they're selling a car to you. So,
well, another thing that jumps right out at me just from personal experience is, what about when I go to the DMV, when I go to register my vehicle? I know I've gone through inspections there before. What's the status on that right now? Do I still have to have my car inspected there if it's over so many years? Or
used to be, but they don't do inspections on them anymore.
Wow.
So I think the state's looking at that.
Yeah.
Whether it's done by DMV again or they ask dealers to do it. I think it's a very important issue. It's certainly not something that was looked at when they were looking at just trying to raise revenue. But I think, again, on second look, the legislators decided, well, you know, maybe the dealers have a good point here and we're not quite ready to do something like this. You know, the other thing we worry about is it dramatically will affect the ability of a credit-challenged person to get a loan. The reason that happens is, you know, what a bank's going to look at, they're going to look at your credit rating, right, as always, mm-hmm, but they're also going to look at how much money are you putting down on the vehicle.
Oh, yeah.
So it may be that you'll pay a higher rate, or it may be that the bank just simply says, look, we can't loan them money. They're not putting enough into the transaction. And that's, you know, like I said, a $10,000 car is going to be $635. That's the sales tax rate. So I think it hurts lower income individuals who absolutely have to have a car. This is not some perk. This is how you get to work. This is how you earn a living. So again, we raised that issue with our government officials, and I think they took that into consideration.
If this double tax thing were to take place, how would that affect somebody if they were going to lease a car for some reason?
It would have an impact depending upon how the dealer, you know, if they're bringing a trade in, how the dealer might apply that to the deal. I think you'll find that a lot of the high-end cars are leased. But again, for somebody who's credit challenged, they're generally not going to lease. They're going to try to buy. Mm-hmm. They may even be buying a used vehicle in order to afford to get into it. So we think it'll have a dramatic impact on consumer behavior with respect to car buying, as it did in Maine when Maine did this years ago.
Now, we talked about, you know, what happens if credit challenge, and of course that rings, you know, layoffs and such. And of course, a few years ago, it seemed like everybody got laid off. With all the changes that could be happening at the dealerships, is there a possibility that some of the dealerships may have to cut back, whether, you know, the service area or the sales area? I mean, could some of those people get hit too, or what?
Absolutely. When you hit the bottom line of a dealership, remember, dealerships are leveraged, very leveraged. The vehicles that are sitting on their lot are really owned by the banks, so they're paying interest on that. So if this is going to go directly to income at a dealership, the only thing a dealer can do is to lay people off. That's the only place they have flexibility. And again, we saw this in 2008 during the Great Recession, where we lost 30% of the dealerships in Connecticut. They went out of business and 2,000 people lost their jobs. That could happen again in Connecticut if this kind of legislation were to make it onto the books, and hopefully it will not. So it has a very bad impact on dealerships, and it has a very bad impact on consumers.
I felt that firsthand. I was doing some public relations work for a dealership, and right away, let's get rid of the PR guy. That's extravagant. Well, the guy that wants to help us sell cars, we'll get him out of here.
Well, you know, dealers spend a lot of money on advertising.
Yeah, right.
On radio and TV and internet sales. So there's a spinoff. We have 14,000 people that work in dealerships. There's another 14,000 people that depend on dealerships, whether it's the guy across the street that's making sandwiches at lunchtime, or radio stations, TV stations. Mm-hmm. So there would be a spinoff effect from that. And remember, 17% of the state retail sales are new car dealers. 17%. It's $600+ million. If the state implements this and they're wrong, they're going to have a major problem with trying to balance their budget. And we told them that as well.
Oh, excuse me, Jim. Yeah. If you're just tuning in right now, I want to plug your show a little bit more too, Jim.
You know, absolutely.
This is You Auto Know, and You Auto Know, and we are in the studio with Jim Fleming, and he is the president of the Connecticut Automotive Retailers Association. And I just want to, before we go here, I just have a minute or so left. Is there anything else you'd like to add, Jim, before we cut out and say goodbye?
Well, only to say that car dealers, as I said initially, are very generous. They, in addition to employing a lot of people, they pay great salaries. I think the average salary is about $60,000 in a dealership, but they're very active in their communities. There's been a lot of talk over the years about whether or not you ought to let a manufacturer sell directly to the public. We don't do that in Connecticut. We work with the Franchise Act, and I know in a future show we want to touch on what's the difference between a franchise dealer and a direct sell. But these people live here. They're generational, three, four generations of families working in the same business. And when somebody needs something in a town, it's usually a dealer that's cutting a check. So,
all right. Well, Jim,
I think that's important to remember.
Hey, thanks a lot for tuning in. This is a brand new show here at WTIC News Talk 1080. You Auto Know, and you'll be finding this program here every other Sunday at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. And you know, if you have any questions or any comments or anything you may want to know about the program or maybe add to the program, we'll send along some more information to you as we move along and develop the program, so you'll be able to chime in from time to time. So again, I want to thank you very much, Jim Fleming.
Thank you, Steve.
He's the president. He's the big guy. That's the guy who rides the line between the dealers and the state capitol, and he's always out there fighting for the dealers, and that's what it's really all about. And a special thanks to Bouvier Insurance, because they were here for us to get this program right off the ground. All right, Steve Parker, catch you next time on You Auto Know on WTIC News Talk 1080.